Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I'm wearing my Costas gear because we're kicking off the Crab Cake Tour, first over at Fadley's and at Costas this week. I was at Costas last week eating some crabs. You know, I'm in the main room. I got my mask off. I got my second shot. I'm with Stan Jablonski. The Orioles game's up. And I look to the left and I look to the right. And it's nothing but Preakness charts. Preakness winning horses. Everybody had autographed the cigar horse except Cigar himself. Mike Gathigan joins us now. He was High Ho Pimlico for a long, long time. He sat high above the racetrack there. Served me a couple pretty decent crab cakes, as I remember. When I talk about crab cakes, very nice crab cakes out at the Maryland Million. So I doff my cap to you for that invitation many, many moons ago. I think Viviano, when I had some, probably had two or three that day. Welcome, man. How are you? You're a Towson now. You were a racetrack guy. Some old guys like me remember you as a Stallions guy. And some old guys like you remember a kid with a Houston Oiler jacket that got thrown on the floor over on York Road by Scott Garceau and Keith Mills, right?
Absolutely. Yep. We go way back, way back. You're mentioning most of my jobs, Nestor. I think I've had maybe one more.
But it's like The Godfather. Whether I'm little WNST or WITH, or, you know, you're bringing OJ Bergantz by the studio up on, you know, up at the Lord Baltimore Hotel back in the 90s. Like, you always get sucked back in. I text you. We even do things off hours, man. You got like women's lacrosse over at Towson, all these things. Tim Leonard's got running around over there. You make time because it's horse racing this week and it sort of sucks you in, right? I mean, it's a part of your blood, and you spent a long time at the track, Mike.
Yeah, 14 years. 14 years I helped run the Preakness. So, yeah, this will be the seventh one that I've since I left. So, 14 was the last one I did. So, yeah, it's been kind of crazy. Some guys that used to come in and help me during Preakness week are back. Actually, started bringing them back like right after the Derby and went to see them last week. And, it's always good to catch up with some old friends and people that love the ponies. But yeah, the thing is with this year, I'm so busy at Towson now that I don't even know. I know it's a 10 horse field, but I know, you know, Baffert's got a couple and Aspison's got one and Chad Brown's got a couple. Pletcher's bringing something in, but I don't really know a whole lot, though. I will be at the OTB on Saturday losing money. But.
Well, I mean, that's a tradition, too, unlike any other third Saturday in May. Mike, you were at this a long time. When I see inquiry in, you know, in red and hold all tickets, right, like reminds me of Charlie Ekman and Chris Thomas and Vinnie Perrone up on the roof back in the day when I was a young man. And you know of my love and passion for it, but also the drift that people have just in general and where they are. I mean, I did an election last year where one criminal still out yelling about the sanctity of the fairness of the competition. And yet every politician I've ever brought on says, we all kind of stand there and count the ballots. So we sort of know what's going on. So I sort of got some insights into that last year. I know nothing about horses peeing in bottles, like, or doping horses. I'm not an expert in any way. I wouldn't think you're an expert, but I think you've been around this enough to know whatever procedures, doctors, veterinarians, what trainers need to know, what needs to be in the hay and what not, the same way that Scott Erickson had to know it was in those milkshakes back in the day. So did Brady. But for you with the industry and the confidence level of whatever Lasix and whatever blinders on and whatever the reports are that people are gambling on it. I've always thought horse racing to be a little different than this because you're looking for a fair fight. I mean, you need it to be on the up and up all the time, not some of the time.
Yeah. This is obviously not a good time for the industry. I feel for the folks at the Maryland Jockey Club. I know, you know, you go on Twitter and, you know, they're getting hammered for letting the horse run, but it wasn't the Maryland Jockey Club's decision. It was the Maryland Racing Commission. You know, they're the ones that were striking the deal with Bob and his folks to make sure they're tested. But Nestor, after every race, the top two or three horses are tested after every race. It's just, you know, it's such a magnitude with the Derby when everyone knows about horse racing. I mean, everyone knows what the Kentucky Derby is. So that's the big thing. But
it's one thing, you know, if you're cheating to win a $10,000 purse. It's sort correct, of like baseball, correct. Right? Like,
oh, yeah.
We've been talking
yeah.
about cheating all week, whether it's banging trash cans with the Astros, yeah. whether it's sticking needles in you, if you're Jose Canseco and shaming Tom Boswell back in the 80s. And, you know, mm-hmm. I've been at this a long time. You've been at this a long time. If you're not cheating, you're not trying and all that. I would think in baseball, they couldn't keep the test ahead of Barry Bonds. They couldn't keep the test ahead of Balco. The East German women growing beards, they couldn't keep the test, ahead of what they needed to do. I just don't understand enough about the equine industry, but I know, like every other industry and every other industry that's struggling a little bit, baseball being another one, that the confidence level of, is this a fair fight? And these other sports are all bringing gambling in now. So that really muddies the water on all this. But when you fill out, when the racing form is there and when whatever is legal and not legal, they're all very aware of this, right? Like, I mean, this is the most important thing Bob Baffert should know, is what's going into his Kentucky Derby winning horse, right?
Yeah, you're 100%. I mean, the thing with this industry, it's regulated industry, but each state has different, you know, laws or rules, and that's the one thing
for many years, you need a ruling body.
You need a league office that you don't. You know, the rules that are in Kentucky are different than the rules that are in Maryland, and the rules in Maryland are different than Florida and California.
How much do they sway?
It's been so long since I've been in the industry.
I mean, I remember Lasix being a big deal back in the, I don't know enough about it, but it was about horses and bleeding.
That's good for horses.
Explained it to me,
it stops their bleeding. That's a good thing. But each state might have a different level of what they can have and what they can't have and when they can have it leading up to a race. I mean, and you've seen all this language in the last couple of days with,
and every state, it's a bunch of government nerds, right? And horse people that try to adjudicate this.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, there are racing commissions in every state that offers racing, but the, you know, it's not uniform. Again, one state might have X amount of what's allowed and the next state might be Y, but that's the trainer's responsibility to know what you can put in a horse and when you can put it in and where, and they know. They trust me, they know.
Mike Gaffigan is here. Long time, not first time, but first time in a long time at Baltimore Positive. Now over at Towson, and sweated. Been a crazy year all the way around, right? I mean, you know.
Yeah, we had at one point, Nestor, we had 17 of our 19 teams in season. We're down to 3 right now. Women's lacrosse, track and field, and baseball. So 3 to go.
A very unnatural life cycle for soccer.
Yeah, most of the fall sports played in the spring. We'd opted out of football. We did not play football in the spring, and it was mainly a decision. You know, if someone blows out an ACL in March, they're not playing in September. So really, the kids decided, the student athletes decided that they voted and they didn't want to play. And you saw a lot of guys go down early. I mean, North Dakota State, their running back, number one running back, went down the first or second game of the year, and he won't play in the fall. We have them coming here in September.
Yeah, I saw that, right?
Huge.
I mean, this is right up there where Denny Cray came in here with Louisville and got his ass kicked, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I was at that game.
Everybody was at that game, remembers that game, right? That's a way back machine. That's like saying Chaminade or something, isn't it?
95, yep.
Well, for you with horse racing and for where it is and for Pimlico and this notion, I've had Bill Cole on, not Bill Cole from Cole Roofing, Bill Cole, Delegate Bill Cole, on talking about a new facility and where they are and Laurel and where – and that was sort of a never-ending debate in your time, right? Like I have Marty McGee on this week. I have Dick Girardi on this week. I have all the usual suspects. As long as they're alive, I bring them on. It's Preakness week. Donna Brothers will be here. Lafitte Pinkai will be here. Baffert joined me last week. I don't know what the hell to do with that. But it's the eternal debate is Will this have a real home? And I remember the day we were out there and all the electricity went down. I was working at the paper back then. I was probably, you know, had a few too many beverages to even realize that everything had gone down. I didn't need electricity that day. I didn't need a blender. But I mean, we're going 35 years ago now, and it's still, it's crazy. It's still hanging on. I mean, if you would have told me 2003 that in 2021, they'd still be doing it this way, I would have said nobody would tolerate that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I mean, now they're, you know, they brought the meet back up to Pimlico earlier than they wanted to because they're having some track issues at Laurel. I think they're going to be at Pimlico, you know, maybe even in the fall. So, and we've had that, you know, again, I got there in 01 and there were a couple times early in my tenure that we had some issues at Laurel, including one time where they expanded the racetrack and the turf course, that we stayed at Pimlico a lot longer than expected. And, you know, it's not built to be a winter track. So that's one thing we learned. I think it may have been 05 into 06 that, you know, the building's old, so the pipes are getting, you know, frozen and whatnot. And, you know, so I don't know what they're going to do. It's interesting to see what happens, but I guess they're digging up the track and at Laurel and seeing what's going on with it. But they'll be at Pimlico for a little bit longer this year than normal, and that's a good thing for Maryland racing because, you know, it's a special thing when you turn off Northern Parkway onto Winter and Winter Avenue, and it's just, you know, think about all the great horses that ran at Pimlico that. I don't think you get that. I didn't get that feeling when I worked at Laurel as well. And when I was there, we basically were 7 months at Laurel, 5 months at Pimlico. And I much prefer Old Hilltop over Laurel. Just there's just more history there. There's, I don't know, there's kind of an aura of it. I love the place.
You know, I sort of feel that way too, like a little wistful about it, that I only go once a year, alibi, whatever, you know, great crab cakes at the Alibi for the crab cake tour. I've told everybody, great fried chicken too, by the way. I when I'm out there, and maybe this is a compliment to you or anybody that's been there this century, that when I'm out there, and whatever the show is on for that weekend, and you're dressing the pig up and putting the paint on it or whatever, clean it up.
Yeah, it's like dressing up your grandmother. There's only so much you can do.
No, but you know what? I never felt it to be dumpy in the way people look at the Royal Farms Arena that way. Like, I always feel like it's my place. It's the place I am. And as long as it's clean and there's not rats running, the water's running, you know, I feel good about it. Now, that being said about Pimlico, on Preakness weekend, it's too many people for it. But, like, I'll give you an example. And it's been a while since we caught up, right? So my wife and I, a couple summers ago, I guess it was the summer before COVID, so 2 years ago, we were up in New York, and my boy D. Rose and Katz and all those guys were up at Saratoga. And I was in New York, and we were, like, there for a Barbra Streisand show, and Hootie and the Blowfish was playing SPAC up in Saratoga, and they were running. It was in August. And I'm like, so if we're already in New York. If we get a rental car and we go up, we'll be there in a couple hours. I get to see Saratoga. It wasn't Travers. It was a couple weekends either before or after. I don't know when – I think it was a couple after. It was in August. And then I got to see SPAC and see Hootie and the Blowfish, and my wife wanted to go to the show. So we went and did it, and it was a complete spur of the moment. Like, on Friday, I didn't know I was doing it. On Saturday at 3 in the afternoon, I'm sitting at Saratoga. And I had no – everybody had told me to go. I didn't really see a lot of pictures of it or know what the grandstand looked like or know about the picnic in the back. I didn't know anything about it other than drive up 87 and, you know, get the Google map out. And there's really good fried chicken at a place called Hattie's right up there with Rofo. You know, I saw that and I'm like, Pimlico, you know, worse or better shape than, you know, I mean, like maybe a little bit, maybe put some more money in it. And they have high rollers up there. And all the New York money comes or whatever. But it's not like Lambeau Field where they've dumped $400 million into it. It's still like, looks like something out of a 1920s movie, quite frankly. Yeah. So, I mean, there is some charm about this stuff. But then I see the money they've dumped into Del Mar. And I go down to Gulfstream, which is like, oh, a little Vegas in Aventura. Oh, sure. Right now, absolutely. Right? Like, literally. But I I don't feel that way about Pimlico. And when I go out there and they're telling me, dude, that it's going to look like this thing right here, it's going to look a little bit like the welcome center to the convention center, like a glass roof, like sort of little structure, I'm going to miss it. If they, you know, if they tear it down in that way, that it's not going to have that Saratoga thing that I saw, that I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. They wouldn't do this like this anymore.
Yeah, I guess so. But, you know, it's almost just like, you know, you and I were there when Memorial Stadium and we thought we would miss it. And I still missed it. I mean, heck, I worked there and, you know, our offices with the Stallions were in Memorial Stadium. It was, you know, a grand old girl. But, you know, do we miss it now? I mean, it's been what? 30
it took
years,
me 15 years to drive by yeah. there.
Oh, I haven't been by.
My wife, like, I would avoid it. I would go around it. My wife would be like, you know, you should confront this. So, so in the last decade, I've taken to going by and seeing the Y there and just feeling good. I talked to John the other day from the Y. So like, I you know, but it took me a while because just turning the corner by Montebello and not seeing the stanchions kind of freaked me out for a good 20 years.
Yeah, for many years. We used to sneak over after the early shows at Channel 2 and get dinner and go through the back way and whatnot. But yeah, I haven't been by there. But again, you know, I miss Memorial Stadium, but it's been a long time. I think that might be the same thing with Pimlico, that, you know, some of the old guard might miss it right away, but, you know, because it has so much character. But, you know, it
I love the press elevator. I love just taking the press elevator all the way. I love that corridor where, you know, Kodax and Seattle SLU and Loma's Ruler and, you know.
All the Triple Crown winners are missing. When I first got there at 01, I made sure we hammered them down and locked them in and made sure that they don't walk anymore. But you walk down that corridor, Nestor, you don't see any of the Triple Crown winners, or at least the Triple Crown winners in the 70s.
Well, they were all autographed by like Jack
Whitaker. All the writers and, well, all the media, not just the writers, but yeah, that's a pretty cool thing.
Red Smith's autograph on stuff. I mean,
Howard Cosell, you know, Jack Whitaker. Yeah, all the legends.
Charlie Ekman,
Clem Florio, Joe Kelly, all the legends.
Mike Gaffigan is here. Speaking of legends, Mike Gaffigan and I worked together at WMAR as I was an intern. He was a producer. He even brought up Jim Hall's his name. How can Mills be retired? Garceau's doing baseball. The Oilers don't exist anymore. And here we are. You're out running things in Towson. And I'm doing the Baltimore Positive thing. But I want to bring something up with you because you mentioned Memorial Stadium. I've had fun this week with the no-hitter. Because I've had this long thing with no hitters. Were you at the Nieves no hitter by any chance?
No. Funny thing is, I was actually interning at Channel 2 at that point. So it was in the spring of 87.
April 15th, 87.
I got hired probably the next week. But do you remember the former quarterback, Jay McMichael at Towson?
Yes. So
Jay now works at CNN as a photographer. He was another intern, and he got to go down and at least was in the press conference. But that wasn't
was
one of the nights
conference.
I worked.
I got to have Jay on then. That would be great.
Jay was there. Jay was interning, and, you know, Scott and I guess probably Earl Terrain was working that night, went down and hopped in the car and drove, you know, right down the road. Yeah.
Well, I started at the Sun in 86, in January 86. So I had my first press pass in 86 for the Orioles and then 87. And in 86, I had the pass that didn't get you in the locker room.
Okay.
It was like the little boy pass. You know, it was like you can have food. You had late lounge privilege. You could go in early, you know, and Betty couldn't make you a crab cake to the third inning. And, but I was 18 years old, man. And I didn't know you then, I'm sure. But in 87, the second year, I can go back and show you the press passes because I haven't had one in 16 years. But I have 21 of them. The 87 one, I had full privilege, right? So keep in mind, this is the first week of the season. I'm living now on Kane Street. I'm 18. I have my own house, right? And it's the fifth inning of the game. And probably watching like Super TV or listening to the game on the radio.
Yeah,
right?
Something. Yeah.
So 87. Yeah. And it was the fifth or sixth inning of a no-hitter. And I went out of my car and I drove down Kane Street, you know, across Urban Avenue, down, you know, down boom, not Urban Avenue, Edison Highway, and over through, you know, Bel Air Edison.
Up okay, went the by park. Little Flower. Went,
yep. Yeah. And I was at the stadium in, you know, 11 minutes, 10, 12 minutes. Right. So I get out there. It's a seventh inning. I go upstairs. I get a crab cake and I watched Yount lay out. And Jack Gibbons, I was trying to score brownie points with Jack. I called Jack at the office and there were no reporters out there, right? It was just, you know, Rosenthal was on the beat then or whatever. Mm-hmm. Maybe Henneman was there. Henneman might have been an official scorer for all I know. Right. And I called Jack and there's cell phones then. I'm, you know, calling from the press box. Jack, it's Nestor. I'm out at the ballpark. Do you need me to run any quotes? Oh, that Aparicio, he's a hustler. So, you know, I went down and I remember little Juan Nieves soaking wet, champagne, Rob Deer. I mean, I'm 18 years old there. Right. And I've never seen a no-hitter since, right? Like, I mean, it's not really a no-hitter because I didn't – I gamed it. I went out in the seventh inning, so right. I can't count right. it, right? Right? I walked out of a no-hitter that Bud Smith pitched in San Diego. I did my national show with Tony Gwynn, Tony La Russa, all of this going on a nationally televised game on Labor Day, and I had a flight home out of San Diego. I left the game in the third inning. I landed at BWI on Monday morning after mm-hmm. – on Labor Day yeah, Monday. I landed – and the newspaper said Smith tosses no hitter in San Diego. I had a press pass, a ticket. I ate the pregame meal and I wasn't there. So like the no hitter is like a holy grail.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. I did probably 10 years or so. I did a baseball trip with some buddies and in Pittsburgh, I'm trying to think what year, maybe 2011, 2012, nah, 2013, 2014. I made all the other guys, there's six of us, stay because they were playing the Reds and somebody took a no hitter into the seventh or eighth inning. And as soon as they gave up a hit, we left.
Time ago. Well, that's like rolls, right?
I've never seen one. So
I was at the Hamill when he went deep on Easter with my family 10 years ago mm-hmm. and the Messina ones, I miss those. I, you know, I have wild stories. I was in my car headed back to the stadium in the eighth inning of the Messina no hitter because I was going to be at the locker for that one. And I had broadcasted Hooters that night and was supposed to go to the game. So I was supposed to go to the David Cohn perfect game wow. in New York. Springsteen was playing that night. We were supposed to make a whole day and my buddy canceled and we didn't do either one. And I missed the perfect game. So like, you know, I don't think it's ever going to, I don't go to enough baseball games anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't care enough about baseball to seek it out, but it is one of the incredible things. This kid, the whole story is incredible. I mean, for somebody that loves sports, right?
Yep. Oh, no question. I don't know if I'll ever see one either. Cause I probably only go to one or two games a year. So.
Well, you've seen 14 Preaknesses. Hopefully we see a whole lot more. Is there anything you want to say about Baffert? I mean, Baffert calls me, does my show, sees me at the Super Bowl. Sal Sinatra doesn't return my text, but Bob Baffert comes on my show. I have no idea how this works, but I'm a Baffert guy, right? So I'm a fan. He's good for the game. This is a really weird spot. And then he goes all right wing on the cancel culture thing and goes all trumped out. And now he's rolling the horse in. I don't know, but I know this isn't good for racing.
No, it's not. No, not at all. Especially when he's the face. He's taken over for Lucas as the face of the industry. And for him to have this happen to him, and it's not the first time that's happened to him. I mean, it's his, you know, the fourth or fifth incident that he's had fairly high profile in the last couple of years. So, it's not a good thing.
Last thing, while we're talking horse racing and I'm wheezing and geezing about no hitters and stuff, and you and I being old and working together 30 years ago, best thing you ever saw at a racetrack. Give me the thing you love the most, the best story that you would tell on the radio or tell somebody about, like spending 14 years. Because you didn't grow up with it, right? I mean,
when I first started, you're a baseball guy, right?
Like maybe,
yeah. I mean, in high school, I played soccer and lacrosse, but you know, you grew up playing baseball, and I mean, I was a bigger Oriole fan than a Colt fan, and I'm a little bit older than you, but you know, the Colts in their heyday in the mid 70s, you know, I was 10, 11, 12 years old then, but I was a bigger Oriole guy.
Well, I guess that my point is for both of us, I grew up wanting to be a baseball beat writer. Like mm-hmm. I would have thought that was the dream job of all dream jobs, right? I mean, pretty thankless really when you think about it. Right. I would think in your line of work and on the PR side that you went on, but you were on a media track as well.
Oh yeah.
That like the dream job for you wouldn't have been the job at Towson or the ballpark or the racetrack or the Stallions. Like
I wanted to be Vince Bagley. I wanted to be Vince Bagley and Jack Dawson. I wanted to be a sports anchor. But when I first got the job at the racetrack, I didn't know where the 16th pole was. And it was a learning process every day. But, you know, Preakness was special, Nestor. It was a grind. I mean, it was every day for 2 months of 100-hour weeks close to the, towards the end once the Derby finished. But it's always something when you get a trainer that gets it after they win the Derby. And in those 14 years, I had two of them that got it and understood that we were here to promote that sport and to promote, the Preakness. And it was John Service in 04 with Smarty Jones. And it was Doug O'Neill in 2012 with I'll Have Another. They embraced the moment, maybe because they hadn't been there before. And they came in and helped us promote.
They went to ball games. I remember they were doing
Doug O'Neill throughout the first, and that was a great thing. Matt Dreyer, you talked about Jimmy Hawes. Matt Dreyer was still at the Orioles. He was Hawes's roommate. They went to Mount Hebron High School together, Salisbury. Great guys, great friends. But, Lode, Matt, that's his nickname, Lode would hook me up. I'd call him up. We'd get the trainer to go down and throw out the first pitch. And, it was a big deal. And,
I missed the Bud Light nights, I missed the crab races, all of it.
They got it. And stuff like, people like Dave Rodman. I mean, it's an under – he is so underappreciated as a racetrack caller. I know he doesn't, he doesn't do NBC. So, he's not as known as well as Durkin or Dave Johnson or Larry Comas, but day in and day out, there's not a better racetrack caller than Dave Rodman. He mentions every horse, every race. And that's what the owners and trainers, they deserve that. And Rodman is brilliant and he is a star. And I tried to get him, he's so underpaid, to try to get him extra money different times, and he's still underpaid. He is absolutely the best in the business, and I'll go to my grave thinking that.
Mike Gaffigan here, talking all things Pimlico Preakness in advance of the big race here this week. A long, long time at the racetrack, certainly a long time, and a love of Baltimore sports. And, that's 30 years into doing this, and I've, moved my brand here to involve other things, but really involving the people that have made all of this go all of these years. And I, every time I would go out to the Preakness, it's a marvel to me that these animals that are cared for, raced, the people that bring them to the gates and march them through paddocks. I mean, just the love of these animals. My wife loves the animals. She loves coming out there on Alibi. So it's a special week for Maryland. I don't want to be one of those people that just lets it get away. I want to make sure that the race is here and it stays here, because I think it's important. And I think it's something that this city really could and should be building around.
100%. If that race ever moves to Laurel, I won't go. I will not go to the Preakness if it's run at Laurel Park. It belongs in Baltimore, period.
All right, man. Well, I have my Keep the Preakness in Baltimore pin somewhere around here, but I'll get it. In the meantime, I got my Costas shirt. Want to give some thanks to our friends at Wise Markets for our Wise conversations here. We're going to be having some signature crab cakes on our crab cake tour, which begins at Fadley's this week. And, of course, at Costas, they ship anywhere in the world. If you're watching from around the world, racing fans, you can always order those crab cakes. What's going on at Towson? We're getting calmer in a couple weeks now, right?
Yeah, so the women are in the NCAA playoffs. Play Stony Brook on Friday, and
bad news for
Stony Brook. Tuesday.
Yeah,
up on the island. So
all right, well, good luck. Hang in, stay safe. You got your shots. Everything good there?
Oh yep, fully vaccinated, and we got tested a lot. I was actually with women's basketball for a while. We had an SID leave. I had 16 tests in a 33-day period.
Sore nostrils, probably, right?
It was the frightening thing, Nestor, was the next morning making sure at 7:01 or 7:02 you got that email that said you were okay to come into work. You didn't want the phone to ring.
So Raven's thing was think positive, test negative, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. No question. So, you know, it's definitely been an interesting, 15 months, but we've all learned it's a new normal. I mean, this whole Zoom thing is it's
look at how good you look.
I don't know about that, but the Zoom thing is awesome. When we learn how to do all these new things that we didn't know how to do on whatever, March 10th. Yeah, we had a women's lacrosse game on March 10th of 2020. And the next event we had on campus was just before Thanksgiving this year with women's basketball. It was something like 260 days or something. It was some kind of crazy number. Yeah, it was 260 between home events. And yeah, it was trying. I mean, the student athletes too, it's very hard for them to go through this and, you know, all the testing and, you know, there's been a lot of pauses throughout the country when, you know, somebody tests positive, they're all in a bubble. So when somebody tests positive, I mean, you saw what the Ravens went through it too. I mean, it's
I watched Wednesday afternoon football.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, you know, we have 19 sports. So it's gone through that. I'm not sure all of them had a pause, but, you know, probably half of them. So it was a trying time, but they got through it. And, you know, this year wasn't about wins and losses. This was about trying to make, you know, the student athlete experience as good as possible during this pandemic.
Yeah, we had Dr. Schatzel on last year. Just, you know, I mean, for all of the presidents, all the people running hospitals, running universities, it's been a crazy time to be talking to leaders and leaders pivoting and changing. And
pivot is the key word. You mentioned Tim Leonard earlier. We have an 80 council meeting every Monday, and pivot has been mentioned probably every meeting in the last, 14, 15 months. Because we
tell Tim Leonard that I've pivoted to Baltimore positive. All right.
There you go.
I appreciate you, Mike. I appreciate the friendship all these years. I appreciate you staying up late and coming on and talking some Preakness history and Pimlico memories. I reached to you before all the Baffert dirtiness comes about, and you know we wind up talking about this other thing. But I mean, it is a great week for Baltimore, and I want to make sure that everybody understands the history here and what's at stake for keeping this. And we have a Super Bowl. It's called the Preakness. Let's embrace it. You know,
absolutely. It's a rite of passage for anyone that's lived here or grown up here, or, you know, it's a tremendous event.
And just because my hair's long doesn't mean I'm going to drink as much as I used to when my hair was long, just so you know. All right.
Are you going out on Saturday?
Yes, I'm going out on Saturday. As long as David Joseph gives me my press credential, I'll go. It said, well, is parking required? I'm like, damn right it's required. I've been doing this 37 years. You know, the story I love to tell about Pimlico, and you might be the only one that gets it out of me this week, is in 1985, the spend a buck year.
Okay.
I'm at the News American. I'd been there a year, maybe, and they gave me someone else's pass, and I had to go out and park in the winter lot, go into the track and meet the photographer. I don't even know who it was. Was it the News American? So I mean, it could have been anybody. A million years. It wasn't Gene Boyers, but it might have been. And I had to go in and pick up film in the little canister,
right? Sure.
Because they would shoot pictures of the women in the hats and all the, and so I got out there at like 4 o'clock. I mean, you talk about a shit assignment that they would give to the 16-year-old. Drive out to Pimlico on racetrack day. Yeah, it was 120,000 people. Park the car, go in and get the film, get back in the car and drive it back downtown so we have it. That was my job, and that's what they did, little Nestor. So I go out there, I got somebody else's Joe Blow's pass. I mean, I got the wrong pass. I'm afraid of going to jail. I barely know how to drive. I've never been to Pimlico in my life. I had never been anywhere near west of 83 in my life, right? So I pull up, park the car, go in. I'm walking through, and I'm, you know where I am, right by the winner's stall, and I'm walking directly toward the media entrance. So now where all the trucks are and all that stuff that they have there, right? This is 1984. And I'm walking along, and I look up, and here comes this image in this gold jacket.
Oh, it's Cosell.
This large man with a cigar walking toward me, and it's Howard Cosell. And I'm like, little Nestor was way starstruck by Howard Cosell. But when I walked there, it doesn't matter who I'm with. I know I've told that story to John Buehren, because whenever I'm out there, it's always the same people, Alibi Week, the horse people, you know, Eisenberg's there, you know, they're Wyckoff's out there, you know, they're Barry all Wax out there. And I always say, it's sacred to me. I point over there and I say,
that's where I met Cosell.
I didn't meet him.
Right.
He, like, I was in his presence. I didn't talk to him. You know what I mean? Like, I was just scared of getting filmed. Dude, this is one of the first things. This is six and a half years before you met me. I was pretty green when you met me. And I had been working at the paper 6 years. But when you meet Howard Cosell and you see him on Preakness Saturday, and then a week later you get a pass and you go up on the rail, and on the rail, Pete Axthelm.
Oh, sure.
Yep. Jimmy Snyder, you know, like all these names.
They still do that, Nestor. I did it for 14 years. I bet Joseph is still doing it. Yeah, still do it.
You know, you remember things that happened to you there. I got a lot of things I forget. The Sunday silence thing, that was a long afternoon on the bus that day. But Mike, love you, appreciate you. Thanks for letting me like wheeze old story. Do you have one great story or no? You want to tell anything? No.
No, I mean, I told you, for me, it was just promoting the event. It was the two trainers that I mentioned, John Service and Doug O'Neill, were guys that, you know, and when Mario.
Did you meet Pino, Gene Simmons or anything? I mean, you know.
No, there's a good story for you. So 1 year, I don't know how, Steve Buckant gives my number to Tara Reid on Preakness Day.
Is this when she's dating Kyle Bowler?
Correct.
Okay.
So she calls me. I have credentials. I don't have anything else. I don't have tickets. I don't have anything else. I send them down to Gloria Cinco Grani. I happen to go down to the main level, and here they come in, Bowler and Tara Reid. And yeah, that was an interesting story. Buckhantz giving her, you know, how did she get a hold of Buckhantz for Steve to give the number to me, my number to her? It's like, got my direct line.
Dude, you got her. Press passes are pretty. You should get expect movie stars. You should hope that all movie stars called, right? Like that's what we're trying to do here, is get more movie stars.
Yeah, but she didn't want press pass. She wanted VIP stuff that I don't, you know, I wasn't.
Tell her in a million years row here, hon. Give her a crab cake and a beer. Tell her to put her
she
ass
wanted
out
to go
on
that Under Armour tent. Got in.
Then she was rolling big. I mean, I'm telling you, the crab cakes were great out in the infant. Whoever did the crab cakes there, they knew what they were doing. I'm doing this crab cake tour, Mike. I hope you and I get a crab cake sometime.
So what are you doing? Are you going to how many? How many, like one a day for a month?
You know, it's interesting you'd ask this, because I just put my pitch deck together, and you know, I would pull it up for you right now and actually show it to you. I'm doing 30 crab cakes in 30 days, 30 Maryland crab cakes in 30. It's my 30th anniversary this year. So it's 30 years ago that I was at MAR, actually. Right. So, I'm starting, and I think I can say this, we're confirmed. John Sarbanes joining us with Fadley's this week. Costas is something special. I'm doing, it's her 50th anniversary. I'm doing some special with the family, and I got a surprise for them I'm not telling them about. And then we're doing a thing at State Fair next week. And then after that, Johnny O's joining me at Pappas. Brandon Scott loves Coco, so we're going to go there. I'm taking Stuart Pittman, who loves the ponies, to G&M.
Okay.
I met Stuart Pittman at the Preakness 2 years ago. First time I ever hung out with him. I didn't even know he was county executive. I was drinking with him for 20 minutes, and he's like, "Oh, I'm the county executive, Van Arnold County." I'm like, "Man, I like you, dude." So I'm going to do that.
That's barely in Van Arnold County, though, right? It's right at the border.
Right. I didn't know it was. I thought it was in Baltimore County, but it's not.
It's really close to like Lansdowne, right?
It's literally on the tip of the tip of Van Arnold County, and Harford County. Barry Glassman joined us. So I've got all that happening, and then. I'm going to start in Ocean City, and I'm working my way to Western Maryland. Listen, man, I've been here my whole life. I've been all over the world, concerts, ball games, all that, Super Bowls. I've never been to Deep Creek. I've never been to Cumberland. I've never been to Rocky Gap. I've never been to the Tidewater Black Rock. I've never been to Crisfield. I've never been to Chestertown. I've never been to St. Mary's. I've never been to Tillman. I've never been to Oxford. I've never been to Smith Island.
You better call Big Don. Big Don will take care of you down on the Eastern Shore.
Big Don O'Brien?
Oh, yeah.
He's in Easton, right?
I think he's like maybe in Cambridge, somewhere in between there. But I'll tell you, my roommate, my freshman year at Towson State, he was from Garrett County, lived like right. He lived in an accident. And we went up there like during Jan term and, you know, skied. And
I've never been to Wisp. You know, I've never fly fished. I've never zip lined. I've never been out on a crab boat. I've crabbed when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. It's been a long time, but I've never been like out, get up in the morning and go. So I'm going to go on a white marlin boat. Nice. It's that week. So I'm doing a lot, doing things I've never done over the course. Think Bourdain or think a little, maybe a little micro, like a little dirty job thing. I'm going to meet some farmers, see what happens with chickens. I'm going to learn things. You know, it's a civics course is what it is.
Nice. It's a lot of fun.
Learn about the horses up in Cecil County.
There you go.
There you go. Mike, I appreciate you, man. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for storytelling. And
I appreciate you inviting me.
I owe you a crab cake soon on the tour, all right?
Absolutely.
We'll get together. Mike Gaffigan, a longtime friend. What's that?
Coco's. That's my place.
Oh, that's your place. Hey, man, everybody's got a place. Wherever your place is, as Max Weiss said here, it's hard to get a bad crab cake in Maryland. It's almost impossible to get an edible one outside of Maryland.
Oh, no question.
I'll annex Dewey Beach, but other than that, I'll give him Dewey and Rehoboth. Mike Gaffigan joining us here. My one-time WMAR. You weren't really my spiritual godfather. Hawes took me more under
his wing. Hawes was, yeah.
Why I'm a mess.
Yep.
Yeah. It's true.
I saw Jimmy September. It's the last time I saw him. It was awesome. He's loved that guy.
We're all still alive. We're all still here. You know, Mary Beth's around the corner and, you know, Jamie.
I'm actually going to see Mills in Siesta Key next month, June, on Belmont Day. I leave Belmont Day.
Did he leave here?
He's like down there 6 months out of the year, and then he'll come up and live in Glen Burnie or Linthicum during Ravens.
I bet he's out hanging out with Rick Vaughn.
You know who he's hanging out with is John Patty Jr.
Man. Everybody's going to Florida for tax-free. I'm the last one holding the bagger. Better not take the Preakness to Gulfstream. I'm telling you right now. That better not happen. Mike, I appreciate you, man. Mike Gaffigan, long time, first time, next time. I'll bring him back on sometime soon. We do appreciate him. Our friends at Royal Farms, appreciate them as well. Make sure you're chickening up here this weekend. I'm getting ready for Chicken Palooza. Chicken Palooza. You drinking Royal Farms right now?
Yeah.
Look at that. See, free plug for Rofo. I appreciate that. Real fresh, real fast. That's how fast it was, Mike Gaffigan. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.